Listening to that song about strong tower and God's power, it reminded me of the power of God's grace. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, the power of future grace. See, God not only has grace for today, he has grace for us tomorrow and on and on and on. And that's where he wants us to be centered. Looking back many years ago when we first started Christ Church of Grace, we went back and forth in prayer and trying to understand what God wanted to do and what the name of the church should be. And after a lot of prayer and on our knees asking God to show us, it was like a no-brainer. This church is called Christ Church of Grace, not Earl Williams Church, not this church, that church, but it is Christ Church because we depend on him. And it is a church empowered by the grace of God. And that's many years ago. I don't know how many years ago, but a few years ago, the church started. My wife is telling me now, how many years? Okay, but she says it's been a long time. She would not commit to the time either. But it's been a long time. And it's been by God's grace working through us all to proclaim the glory and the grace and the power of the Lord. That's why I entitled this sermon, even changed it a little bit from another sermon I was going to give. And that's the power of future grace. That same power that we depend on for this church is the same power by which we live day in and day out. God has given us grace, not just for today, I'm going to say this again, but future grace. So we don't have to worry about tomorrow. We don't have to worry about what may come or what is happening. Our faith and our power is in the future grace of God. And that's what I want to talk about a little bit today. The future grace. You see, we don't have to be worried about tomorrow because God has given us a grace that just keeps going on and on and on. And a grace that takes care of tomorrow, next week, thereafter, and thereafter. It is a future grace. You say, well, Pastor, what is future grace? Grace is by God, and he's eternal, right? He will live forever and ever and ever and ever. So everything with God is future. And he gives us grace for today and grace for tomorrow, grace for the future. And when you realize that God gives us future grace, then it gives us, I don't have to worry about tomorrow. I don't know how I was going to make it, but now understand that it is by God's grace that is tomorrow, yesterday, and today, and forever. And he wants us to live that way. So the bottom line of this sermon, I want us to experience a greater peace about tomorrow because God is the God of yesterday, today, and forever. He is the Alpha and the Omega. And he works with us by grace through faith. I want us to turn a little bit here in scripture to a few places in John, the Gospel of John. I'm going to go to chapter one, first chapter, not very far to turn. And I want to look at, I want us to read verse 12. Verse 12. Yet to all who received him. Have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you receive him every morning, every day when you get up as your strength and your might of your future? Yet all who received him, you know what it means to receive God or to receive him? It means that you're putting your trust in him and nothing else. That's what receiving means. He came to that which is his own, and his own did not receive him. We don't want to be that way. They rejected him. He was the source of their strength, the source of their existence. He was living bread. To receive Jesus Christ, to receive the Lord, it means that you put your trust in him. In today, to tomorrow, to all eternity. It's to receive him. It's to believe in him. To recognize him as your life. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. They rejected him. In fact, we know that they crucified him. They did not want him. They did not put their trust in him. Yet all who received him, and there were those ordained by God who received him, to those who believed. Now, I want you to watch this and how John writes this. As you have seen, we just read, he came to his own and they did not receive him. Verse 12, yet to all who did receive him, who received him, to those he who believed. Notice, receiving is believing. That's a very, very important thing. Receiving is believing. It is trusting in him. It's believing in him. You receive him as your Savior. You're saying, I trust in him. His power, his grace, now and forever. To receive is to believe. It's interesting, as we will maybe note later a little bit more, when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we're receiving of the body and the blood of Jesus. That means we trust and receive that he is all-powerful and that he has called us by his grace. It's not our choice that we are a part of the body of Christ. It is by the choosing of Jesus Christ, of God the Father. Yet all who received him, and I hope you've received him. If not, receive him. Believe him. What else does that mean? To receive something, you're excited about it. Oh boy, I'm getting that new this or that. Or, oh boy, wasn't that a great meal? When you receive something, you enjoy it. You're looking forward to it if you have not received it. You're looking forward to it in the same way. Jesus is our joy. He is our satisfaction. That's why he is called the bread of life, because bread tastes good and bread empowers you. The power of future grace is even in the Lord's Supper, the bread and the wine. Brethren, says, or children, they were born not of the natural descent. He's saying all those who are God's children are not those who came through flesh and blood. The major way that we are children of God, and not by a human decision. Oh, let's have Leroy to be our child. Let's have another daughter or whatever you wanted to have or want to have or have. But born of God, this is of God. And one of the most important things about what I'm going to say today is this, that the power of God's future grace depends on him. And it depends on us by his Spirit believing that it is real, believing it is true, believing it is the satisfaction to everything we've ever desired. He is it, and there is none other. The Word became flesh. Nobody's done that. Nobody who wrote a word, okay, let's say word, W-R-D, I'm writing now, and it becomes flesh. No. It never has happened, except in the case of Jesus Christ. Not a human decision or the will of a husband, but born of God. Why am I mentioning God so much? Because that's where our faith should be. And that's what we believe. And that's what we stand on. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. So if he did it yesterday, we know that Scripture says he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his promises are true. They don't run by a clock. Uh-oh, out of time, can't give you that gift. No. Yesterday, today, and forever. We put our trust in him. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory. All of us can look back in our lives and see his glory. To see his grace and mercy. I deserve to be 6 feet under. Two times God spared my life that I can note of. Probably more than that. Two times. I didn't deserve it, but it's by his grace. We have seen his glory. See, that's glory. Seeing the power and the might of the Lord to wake me up as I'm driving down the road in Arizona going to California, and there's this highway abutment, there's all this concrete, and I'm driving in the middle of that concrete, and God wakes me up, and I turn the right direction, not into the traffic, but away from the traffic. I know that was the Lord. I know that was his grace. And he gave me grace then, and he gives me grace now. I could have had an accident a few weeks ago. He said, Pastor, maybe you need to sit down and stop. But I almost ran into somebody from behind, 3 blocks from my house. God's been gracious. God has been good, because that is who he is. And he gives us grace. Not that grace is not something we deserve or earn. It's something that God gives us. Oh, I'm talking too much. Let me go on. Verse 14. The word became flesh, and his dwelling was made among us. We have seen his glory. We've seen how he's intervened for us. The glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Our God is full of grace and truth. Put your faith in him. Walk by his grace now and tomorrow and forever. John testifies, certifying concerning him. He cries out, saying, this was he whom I said, he who comes before me has surpassed me because he was before me. Wow. Notice what else it says. From the fullness of his grace, he doesn't just have God's not stingy. He didn't say, well, let me break off a little piece of bread over here and give you a finger's full and give you that, and that'll do you for the next hour. Now, God's not that. He's very gracious, overwhelmingly so. So we not only have a gracious God, the powerful God, a future grace, but abundant grace beyond what we could even ask or think. Grace we have received, one blessing after another. We got one blessing after another. That's what he does. Blesses us, boom. He didn't have to wait for Christmas. No, boom. He blesses us. We don't deserve it. And we praise him and thank him. Why am I giving this sermon? So that we would trust God. That's the bottom line. That we would put our faith and our trust in him. I got a few more things I want to say about that. I want us to turn to the word of God. We've looked at what John had to say. John, a cousin of Jesus. John, who said, so I'm coming here. Behold, comes the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. That's the kind of attitude I believe God wants us to have, an attitude of faith in his future grace. And you see, here's the bottom line of what this does. This delivers us from sin. That's right. I believe that when we put our faith for the future in God and in his grace, in Jesus Christ, we are delivered from sin. Because you see, sin is based upon what you think would satisfy you other than God. Sin appeals to your flesh. That if you only had this amount of money in the bank, you would be at peace. That's not true. You can have all the money in the world and still be worried if you don't have future grace. If you don't have God there and God in control. Sin is pleasurable. And one of the ways we sin is with money. You say, if I got to pay my taxes here and maybe I just cheat a little bit, take an extra 100 there, 100 extra there. Forgetting God, what God has said. But that's your way of, if we're going to, do that, then why did we turn to God? Or why aren't we generous towards God? Why don't we give towards God? Because, well, I may not have enough left for myself. But we're talking today about future grace. We're talking about what you may have and may not have and what you need and may not have or need tomorrow I'm telling you that God has provided. And he's given us future grace. And you see that through scripture. Let's look at some instances of future grace. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Let's see if I can turn there with my long fingers here. Sometimes I go through the scriptures and I'm tearing up verses. And I have a raggedy Bible, but I thank God that it's still working. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. This is what future grace looks at or looks for. It looks like. In other words, grace is something unmerited, unearned. But future grace is more than that. It's based on a promise of God. It's based on what God said he would do for us. And sometimes we don't trust God. We make our own way. I'm going to make my way out of no way. Now, God says no way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. By faith, let's see where I'm going to go. Verse 24. Bear with me here. Being an old man, God gives me the grace, though, to continue on. Verse 24. By faith, speaking of Moses, by faith, he left Egypt. He left Egypt. You know what that means? He left all the pleasures, all of the money, all of the palaces, because he was right there with him. He was royalty. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Here he is in power, in majesty. I mean, he was at the top. Anything he wanted was his. But he came to the point when, and he saw God. And God was showing him that he needed to put his faith in him rather than in Pharaoh and Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated among the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. This is very pivotal here. Notice he's talking about the pleasures of sin for a short time, and we're talking about the power of future grace. What makes a difference in your behavior in the future is what and where you think you're going to be pleasured. Whether it's money, car, house, sex, sports. That's where your faith is. We're talking about a future grace. We're not talking about just, we're talking about faith in future grace. Faith in the promises of God. And that's why I'm reading the things that the people of old learned to trust God. The Old Testament is there for us to learn how they trusted God and how good God is. Now, God opened up the Red Sea. He'll do the same for us. Well, Pastor, we don't live near the Red Sea. I may not be talking about that. There may be another sea you face that you're drowning in. He chose to be mistreated among the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. Listen, the devil comes at us, not with the promises of God, but the pleasures of sin. But I'm here today to tell you that the pleasures of righteousness comes through faith in God and through the grace of God. Don't be fooled. Don't be hoodwinked. Sin is pleasurable, but it's deadly. I'm here to introduce you to another way of the power of pleasure. True pleasure comes through future grace. Doing it God's way, trusting in him, obeying him. Not what your flesh cries out for, because you're going to be wrong every time and you will suffer. Young folks, I have been young and now I am old. And I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I can testify that God has always taken care of us. He's given us peace and joy, even in troubled times. Because we knew by his grace through faith. And here's the example of Moses. He had it made in the shade and on the veranda, in the water, in the Nile, everywhere. I mean, anywhere he had it made. He chose, though, to be mistreated. We'll say, what's wrong with Moses? He's going to choose to be mistreated? He's going to choose to go through hard times? You see, that's why I'm talking to you about future grace. Because you don't want to go through those hard times. Nobody does, except if you believe. If you believe in future grace, that God has you taken care of. He wants you to trust him. Even if it means that Paul even went through that. And in Philippians 3 and verse 7, Paul suffered the loss of all things so that he might know Christ. All things. I mean, he had it made. He was this, that, and the other thing. But he let that go. Because he could see down the future. Sometimes we are short-sighted. And we need to be more futuristic in the grace of God. Listen to me, young folks. God loves you. Listen to you, me, middle-aged folks, and older folks. As my folks used to say, even if you're old, you need wisdom. Because there ain't no fool like a what? Old fool. Okay, you don't want to be an old fool. You don't want to be a young fool. You don't want to be a middle-aged fool. You want to be a man or woman, girl or boy, child of God. And God has made us great and precious promises. And he's going to keep his promise. And he's going to fulfill his grace. Again, let's go back to Moses. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. Yeah, you'll go through some things, but it'll be a short time. But if you go through the way of sin, it won't be a short time. It'll be for the rest of your life. God's way is best. You're going on what feels good. That's what we all do. But God wants us to enjoy what he has for us. And people may talk about you. Moses suffered, blah, 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 blah. It'll happen to all of us. But God has something better. Let me read back to Moses again. But he would rather suffer with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. Why do I keep going back to pleasure, pleasure, pleasure? Because I'm here today to tell you is this as well. There's pleasure in the Lord. There's eternal joy in the Lord. And I'm here today to tell you that Jesus is better than being in jail because you stole something from somebody. Jesus is better. His way is better. And he's got goodness for you for the rest of your life. For the sake of Christ. Listen to what he did. Some of us got to get our values straight. All of us do. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. Sin is pleasurable. That's why people do it and commit it. It is pleasurable. But God is saying, I've got future grace that's better. Much better. Doesn't have all of the side effects. Doesn't have all the penalties you stuck with for the rest of your life and you're full of disease and sickness and death. This is better. So what if people call you a square? I had somebody in my life, shouldn't have been talking to him much anyway. Did I say this? Yeah, I'm going to say it. I'll just say I was called some names because I wouldn't do what they were doing. You can imagine some things. Because God had given me a vision. Did I have feelings and desires like anybody else? Yes, I do, and yes, I have. Thank God he blessed me with a wonderful wife for all these 55 years. I wouldn't have her as a wife if I would have gone the way of sin and caved in, who people call me a square, or you must be a queer, or you can call me anything you want to. But guess what? I've got life. I've got life everlasting. And that's what I want. That's what God wants. For us all, I know I've been going on and I'm going to have to quit. There's much more I want to say. But by faith, I want you to believe that obeying God is fun. That obeying God is pleasurable. He's got future grace for you that you right now can't even see or hear or smell or taste. But it's going to be great. And I want to tell you, you'd rather have Jesus than anything. Moses understood it. Paul counted it all dung. He says, all that I've acquired. I'm a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I'm this and that. And that felt good being honored like that. He says, it's all dung. It's all gone. Except for knowing Christ. That's the truth. And the power of future grace will keep you out of sin. Because you have found something better. Something long lasting. Something that won't make you sick. Something won't kill you. Make wise choices. And the wisdom of the Word of God is the wisest and the greatest thing ever. We don't have to be, oh Lord, should I say this? I won't say that. We don't have to be whatever. The wisdom that we lack, God has given us in His Word. By faith, He left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. And He persevered because He saw Him. God just don't give you a blank. Oh, look at this. No, He reveals Himself to you. He gives you joy and peace and good things to experience. Because obeying God is not all dull. God blesses us. He gives us a peace that surpasses all understanding, that cancels out what pleasure you were figuring to get from money or from drugs or from this or from that or for sex outside of marriage or from changing your sex. If I change my sex, then I'll be happy. No, you won't. No, you won't. Joy comes from the Lord. Please hear me. When I say hear me, I mean take it seriously. That the way of the Lord is better. It's not just some religious, spiritual thing. This is real. This is life. By faith. You say, how am I going to know this is true? Trust God. Trust God. You've got more to lose by going the way of the world than by trusting God. Think about it. And God is good. Oh, I need to quit here. By faith, He left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because He saw Him. Open up this book, folks, and see Him. Oh, I'm talking about the Bible. Young or old, wherever you are. You see, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I believe what I believe because I've heard it in the Word of God. By faith, He kept the Passover, the sprinkling of the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea. This has really happened, and on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. It's not just some story you see on TV. It was real. God protected His people. By faith, notice it says over and over, by faith, by faith, by faith. See, future grace is received by faith. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell. That's not just a song, you know, Joshua hit the walls of Jericho, whatever it went. You know, I can't sing good, but nevertheless, this is not a song. It's real. After the people had marched around 7 days by faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who was disobedient. Notice, here's a woman who was not living right, but repented, and God saved her. See, this future grace is for everybody. God says, just believe. Trust in me. And what shall we say more? Do I not have time to tell you about Gideon? You say, amen, Pastor, you don't have time. I'll pick this up next week, hopefully. But it goes on and on and on. And God is showing us that future grace is good and it's better than anything that this world, you and your friends, have to offer. God offers us pleasure now and forevermore, and future grace. We'll talk more about that, if you please, next week. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your grace that is unmerited, unearned. Thank you for loving us, even as sinners. You see every part of us, and you still accept us. And you bless us. And you give us grace. You don't give us what we deserve. You're very generous towards us. Thank you for that, Lord. And thank you that you see us in the image of Christ. Thank you that you count us as your belovedness. Thank you, consider us your children. It is very comforting to know that you love us, that you have not rejected us. And we, no matter the sins we have committed, you forgive us. And we are yours. And we are your belovedness. Thank you for that, Lord. Open our hearts and minds to see this. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus is our living hope. He is our future grace. For he has made a covenant with us forever and ever to love us, to bless us, that he be our joy and our peace and our all in all. As we prepare to participate in the Lord's Supper, let us turn to 1 Corinthians 11. And we'll read verses 23 through 25. And Paul says, "For I received from the Lord what I passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks," wow, he thanks for us. That is, he did this, he offering his body for us. It was future grace, for we were not even born. But he died to give us grace yesterday, today, and forever. It's by the grace of God. All the promises of God are yes, and they are amen, like a double yes, yes. God's going to keep his promise. "For I received from the Lord what I passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" And Lord, we take this bread now. And we thank you for giving us the grace of your body now and forevermore. Thank you for being so good to us in spite of us. You died for our sins. When even we turned our back on you, you never gave up. You never stopped loving us, and you never will. And we ask you to bless this bread and let us experience this everlasting covenant. We receive it because we receive you as being our souls' only satisfaction. It's only in you. It's not in anything else. Thank you, Lord, for giving your life so that we might have life with you and life more abundantly than anything we could imagine. So bless this bread, Lord. Now, Father, we ask you to bless this wine as we read. I receive from the Lord, which I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. Thank you for that, Lord. He said, this is my body, which is given for you in remembrance of me. In the same way now, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant. Notice this is a covenant. The future grace is guaranteed. Thank you, Lord. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, guaranteed, signed and sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Do bless this wine, Lord. Let us experience your cleansing blood. Let us rejoice in your grace now and the grace you have given us that will last for all eternity. Thank you, Lord. As we drink this, we rejoice in you. Amen. As we mentioned during the message, I'll repeat it even now, that God's grace is the real, as they say. It's the real thing. It is eternal. It's power. It's invincible. And nothing can stop God loving us. Nothing. Even our sins. He comes in and he brings forgiveness. He loves us that much. He wants to be with us forever. Just like in marriage, there's a marriage covenant. In our relationship with God, with Jesus Christ, we are one with him. And he has received us, and we receive him. Receiving is believing, and believing is receiving. He is our life. And I hope you will come. I hope we will all come, Lord. Please help us all to come. That we need and we desire and want you, Lord, more than anything. And let us think about that, Lord. Stir our hearts for desire for you. And now let us listen to the song. This little medley is a beautiful medley about our need for the Lord. It's entitled, I Need Thee Every Hour. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. And I'd rather have Jesus. Amen? Let's play that.
I need thee every hour. Most gracious Lord, no tender voice like thine can peace unfold. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Jesus, Jesus, Today.